quick 10-minute halacha shir before we start regular shir. Continuing in the issues of chuppah, so we got through a lot of the secondary issues related to the chuppah, the kala going around the chasen, where they stand. But now we have to get to what they're doing under the chuppah. The two main things that happen under the chuppah are the kiddushin and the nisuin. So let's discuss a little bit about each. The kiddushin involves brachos. First, a bracha al yayin, bar pri agafen, and then the birchas eris. And both of them traditionally are said by the Masada kiddushin, both the bar pri agafen and the birchas eris, which is a longer bracha. Normally, whenever you make a bar pri agafen, you have to drink a melo lugmav when it's a kosher bracha, that if you're having kiddush wine or abdallah or whatever, normally you have to drink a melo lugmav. But the Berhetev and Ibn Ezer, Simla Medal, Sivkot and Vav, says that we're makil by birchas erisin for just a ti'ima, and that's why the Chasan and Kala just take a little ti'ima, a little bit of a taste of the erisin wine. The Aruch HaShulchan writes that our minag is not to require the Masada Kiddushin to drink, even though he's the one that said the bracha. And one would think, if he's the one that says bar pri agafen, he should have to drink. There are conflicting reports about what Reb Chaim held about this. There are some that say that Reb Chaim held that you got to spill, that the Masada Kiddushin has to drink, and therefore, if he's embarrassed to take a drink from it, or he thinks it doesn't look nice if he takes a drink from it, to spill a little bit of the wine on his finger and just suck the wine off his finger, just so he could have a little bit, at least a ti'ima, from the coast that he makes the bracha on. But again, conflicting reports. There are some people, ad hayom, that are makbid about this. Others are not so makbid. Rav Vadya and Yabi Omer, Chelkei Simin Yod, Ozayin, is makbid that the Masada Kiddushin does need to drink. He doesn't care if you spill it on your finger or drink it straight, but he does think the Masada Kiddushin is making bar pri agafen and therefore should have to drink from the wine. There are also various minhagim, and this, I don't even know if you can call this minhagim, but I've seen various practices, different Masada Kiddushins, of who gives who the wine, because both the chasen and the kala need to drink from the wine, so sometimes they're makbid that it's this one's mother gives this, you know, gives the chasen's mother gives the mother, kala's mother gives the kala, or maybe you get the fathers involved, the father, whatever it is, whoever gives who is not, it's not the most critical, not the most critical thing. I remember at my wedding, I think Rav Shechter had my mother give me to drink, and my wife's mother give her to drink, and then on the second, on the coast of Birchas Nisuin, the second coast that we have, he Rav Shechter gave me to drink, and he had me give my kala to drink. I don't know, I never saw anyone else do that, but okay, whatever, I don't think there's anything to those minhagim. You just got to drink from the wine. Now, the Kiddushin itself, many Rishonim hold the bracha, the Birchas Erisin, is the Birchas HaMitzvah, it's the Shitas HaRambam, and therefore, the Chasam and Kala, since we're Choshish for the Shitas HaRambam, not like the Rush holds that it's a Birchas Shevach Vada, we're Choshish for the Shitas HaRambam, so it's important that the Chasam and Kala should be careful to pay attention to the brachos, because they're being said for them, it's their brachos. And they also can't speak during the brachos. If someone's making a bar pri agafen on your account and making a bracha birchas erisin on your account, and it's all for you, and you have to listen and say amen so that you could be yotze the bracha. They certainly cannot speak to each other or to anybody else during the birchas erisin. Rav Shechter also insists on calling up the edim and asking the chasen if he bought the ring, and asking the edim if it's worth the shavu pruta, all before the bracha. You see, most people in the Masada Kiddushin will do this after the bracha. They'll take the wine, they'll say bar pri agafen, then the birchas erisin. Then they'll say to the eidim, they'll say to the chasen, give me the ring, let's see the ring. Do you have the ring? Did you buy the ring? They'll show the eidim the ring. Does it look like a shavu pruta? They'll go through that whole process. But Rav Shechter points out that if it's really a birchas mitzvah, so the halach is that you're not supposed to be mafsik between a birchas mitzvah and the actual performance of the mitzvah. So we should minimize the hefsik as much as possible. And therefore, all these questions and all of these issues that can be taken care of before the bracha should be taken care of before the bracha, so that you don't have a large hefsik between the bracha and the actual kiddushin. The actual kiddushin is when the chasen takes the ring and says harei amukadesh lebitbazo kedas moshav Yisrael, so that you don't want to have a hefsik. Most that I've seen are not makbid about that, but that's Rav Shechter's hakpada. It makes a lot of sense to me. Tosfos Masechta Kiddushin Daf Tes says that he shouldn't have any stones in the ring, shouldn't have any diamonds or anything like that, since the kala has to have an idea, I have to have a certain smichas das about how much the ring is worth, and a stone could vary in price from min akatsa la katsa, so it would be very difficult for her to know how much it's worth, and we're afraid that she's going to think it's worth $5,000 and it's really only worth $50 or whatever, and it's gonna be a mekachtos or whatever it is, so we don't want that to happen. The chasen has to own the ring. That's important. He buys the ring with his own money. That's why you hear it almost every wedding you go to. The Masada Kiddushin asks the chasen, did you buy this ring? with your own money. I was once asked a shayla. A chassan had a family heirloom that every male in his family got married with the same ring. They were mekadesh their wives with the same ring. How did they mekadesh their wives with the same ring? Because after the kiddushin, the wife just it was just for the kiddushin. Then she gave it back, and they passed it on to the next sibling or the next son or whatever for the kiddushin. So that's a very, very terrible minhag, because then you're never really giving her the ring. The whole point is that you're supposed to have the ring and then give it to her, not to make a show of this is symbolic of. No, this is the kiddushin, so it has to go to the kalin. She has to feel like it does in fact belong to her. The chassan places the ring with the right hand on the kala's right index finger. That's how the Ber Hetiv writes in Emunah Simcha of Zayin, and the Edim, or sometimes whoever is there, says Mekudeshes. Once he says Harei Mekudeshes Li B'Tavazo, B'Tavazo I think grammatically is more correct, but people say B'Tavazo because that's what they say. Whatever it's say, either way, the Kiddushin is fine. Kedas Moshe Yisrael. So then, and she takes the ring on her right index finger. So then she is Mekudeshes, and at that point she's half married. I remember under my chuppah, Rabbi Tendler, right after we did the Kiddushin, Rabbi Tendler was there. I'm not sure why he was under the chuppah. I think he was reading the ksuba. But right after the kiddushin, he said to my wife, "Mazel tov, Mrs. Leibowitz." He said, "Right, that's your first time. You're really actually married. You're now Mrs. Leibowitz. You're no longer Miss Gewurz. That's her maiden name, or Miss whatever, whoever you marry." Okay, so the reading the ksuba. Why do we read the ksuba? After the kiddushin, that's the next thing we do, is we read the ksuba. What's the point of reading the ksuba? So, after all, Edom already signed it. They read it, hopefully, before they signed it. And we know what it says, so why do we have to read the ksuba? So, since the birchas nisuin, which we do right after the kiddushin, right after we read the ksuba, we do under the chuppah at the same time as the kiddushin, in such close proximity, the birchas nisuin also have a baruch piagafen. So it's a little strange and halachically incorrect to make two baruch piagafens in such close proximity to each other, because normally you only need one baruch piagafen, and that will cover all the cups of wine that you have in that location at that time. See, it used to be that erusin was done way before the nisuin, so if it was done months or a year before the Nisuin, so of course you need two baruch piagafens, but nowadays we do it all at one time, so we need to create some sort of diversion, some sort of hefsek, in order that we should warrant a new baruch piagafen. So what better thing to do than to read the ksuba? What more appropriate document to read at that time? But really, meikra din, it could be anything. You could have the chazan sing a song, you could do whatever you want. The Rav Salvechik held, Rav Shechter writes in Nefsharav, I think, that if you can have a speech under the chuppah, it used to be the practice that most people that have a speech under the chuppah. Baruch Hashem, that practice has fallen into disuse somewhat, so most people don't have a speech under the chuppah, but if you're going to have a speech under the chuppah, that would be the best time to do it, when you're trying to create a delay anyhow, and that's what the ksuba is all about. That's why some people, when they're called to read the ksuba, try to read it as fast as they can. That's really not so appropriate. The whole point of reading the ksuba is to cause a delay. You don't want to do tircha de tzibura, where you're sitting there doing chazanas for an hour, but it shouldn't be just super fast to just get through the whole thing very quickly. Now, in light of the reason to read the ksuba, it doesn't seem to be the most important kibbud in the world. It seems to be a very unimportant kibbud. As Rav Shechter pointed out, you could have a parrot read the ksuba and it would fulfill the same requirement. It doesn't really matter who actually reads the ksuba, but for it's become accepted that it's viewed as a very big kibbud. Normally, next to Masada Kiddushin, people give kriyas a ksuba to, if let's say the chassan picks a Masada Kiddushin, so the kala's rabbi will normally read the ksuba, or someone that they view as important, probably because they assume that only important people can pronounce all the words in the ksuba, or only Talmid Chacham can pronounce all the words, I guess. I don't know. I'm not sure why it got such high billing. Maybe because it's the longest part. If this were a show, that the person who's reading the ksuba gets a longer part than the Masada Kiddushin gets. I don't know. Then there's something called the Mesiras HaKsuba. The halacha is that a couple is not allowed to stay together, not allowed to sleep together in the same house alone if they don't have a ksuba, right? So the Rambam Shita is that any chuppah that's Einu Ru'uya Labiyah is not a good chuppah. So Rambam holds, for instance, chuppah's nida is no good. We don't pass them like that. We pass them chuppah's nida is valid. But the Rambam holds chuppah she'Einu Ru'uya Labiyah is not a good chuppah. So therefore, some poskim have said that you want to dafka do, make sure that the chassan gives the ksuba to the kala so that it's a chuppah ru'uya labiyah, because only once she has the ksuba, chuppah, is it a chuppah haru'il abiyah? Now, she doesn't have to hang on to it forever. She can give it to someone else she trusts to safeguard for her. She can give it to her mother, or whoever she trusts to watch over it, but it has to be given to her. So there are many poskim, they said b'shem Rav Aaron Cutler, that are careful about having edim to the mesiras haksuba. Now, edim, that doesn't really fit the picture over here. Just because you need the kala to have the ksuba, what do you need edim for? So there are different explanations that the Achronim give, and Yisun Kilch says he has a list of three or four different explanations, none of which are particularly convincing as to why you should have edim watch the mesiras haksuba. So that's why you'll notice a lot of times the Masada Kiddushin will keep the Eidei Kiddushin up there under the chuppah till after the kriyas haksuba, so they can then watch the chasen give the ksuba to the kala, that you should dafka see the mesiras haksuba. There is no din about how the ksuba needs to be folded or rolled or anything like that when the chasen gives it to the kala. I was once a Masada Kiddushin at a wedding, and I had they called up someone to read the ksuba, and the guy who was reading the ksuba said to me after he read it, "Do you have a rubber band?" I said, "No, why would I have a rubber band?" And he said, "Ah, rookie, you know, inexperienced." Like, he couldn't believe that I didn't have a rubber band. There's no din that it has to be rolled up. There's no, he didn't say rookie, he's an Israeli rabbi. He said inexperienced. So there's no din that it has to be rolled up. I don't know why a person would need to have a rubber band. But anyway, so you just see, but the Mesiras HaKesubah, some are makbid to have keep the Edom up there from the Mesiras HaKesubah. Rav Willig is not makbid about this at all. He thought it's unnecessary to keep the Eid Kiddushin up there. I remember I was in Eid Kiddushin where he was a Masada Kiddushin. I'm trying to remember whose wedding, I think maybe Janikowski's wedding. And we said, should we stay up here? You know, you don't have to. What do we need these chumras? Just go sit down. Let's see. Then we move on after the kriyas haksuba to the nisuin. The nisuin is very simple. Consists of seven brachos. Used to be the minhag was that one rabbi would make all seven brachos, or one person would make all seven brachos. Nowadays, obviously, because we have so many kibudim to try to give out, we want to honor so many different people, so we split the brachos up. So it used to be that they would split it up, that one person would get the first two, and then it would be one for each person. And now, more recently, you find that they split the first two. That Bar Priyagafen is separate from the second one. So why was the minhag to give the first two together at the same time? So I asked Rav Shechter. He said because people thought it wasn't such a great covet to say Bar Priyagafen. You can say Bar Priyagafen whenever you want. Just take grape juice out of your fridge. You can always say Bar Priyagafen. But so they wanted to throw in another bracha to give this kibud. But the reason why it is a great covet, because most of the time you don't get to say Bar Priyagafen under a chuppah. So that's why it's viewed as a nice kibbutz that people get, and they split it up generally amongst seven people. The Satmar Rebbe was not a big fan of this. Rav Shechter points out the Satmar Rebbe used to say that he didn't understand in America why you can't just have one rabbi say all the brachos. I think Svardim, at Svardi weddings I've been at, they've had one rabbi say all the brachos, but Satmar Rebbe said next thing you know they're going to have one rabbi say burich and the next one say yatu. You know, they're going to split up each word of the bracha. Okay, after the nisuin, after the seven brachos, very important, the Baruch Priyagafen is the first of the seven brachos. Who's that bracha being said for? The chasen and the kala. And they're going to have to drink from that. What happens during the Shavuot brachos? Different people are called up. They say a bracha, and then they turn to the chasen and kala. Mazel tov, you look so great, so nice to be here. You should have mazel and bracha. You know, and the chasen and kala say, thank you so much for coming. They shouldn't say a word. The Baruch Priyagafen is their Baruch Priyagafen. You can't be mafsik between the Baruch Priyagafen and drinking. They shouldn't be mafsik role. They shouldn't talk to each other. They should smile and nod, you know, when people come up. But that's it. They shouldn't speak until after they drink from the wine. And the last thing we do at the chuppah typically is the breaking of the glass. Now, if you look on any Jewish wedding depicted on television, so that's the most important part of the wedding. But in halacha, it's not really the most important part of the wedding. It's not super duper critical. The Maril records the practice to throw the cup against the wall. We chose to step on it instead. Instead of doing the way the Maril says, we just step on the glass. Rav Shechter says, you know, it's ironic how sometimes people have assumed that this has an importance to it, that it really doesn't. Rav Soloveitchik, when he first came to Boston, was a Masada Kiddushin at a wedding, and the chasen before the wedding said, you know, I want to do a double ring ceremony. Now, a double ring ceremony would pass the whole Kiddushin. It's not a Kiddushin if it's a double ring ceremony. So he said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be a Masada Kiddushin if you do a double ring ceremony. Absolutely not. And he finally prevailed on them not to do that. Then right after the chuppah, the conservative rabbi comes running over to Rav Soloveitchik and says, Rav Soloveitchik, we have a big, big problem. So, well, Rav, what's the problem? He said, the glass isn't broken. He stepped, but he didn't break it. So it's okay. They're still married. I think that's okay. The same rabbi who was willing to do a double ring ceremony, so worried that the glass wasn't broken. So why is it, though, that we break the glass? So the Tosfos Brachos Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph says we break a cup to bring down the chance of frivolity, frivolity at the simcha. The Kolbon Hilchstainis says it's a kiyum of zecher l'churban. So again, it's to bring down the level of the joy a little bit. Now, when should the glass be broken? So the standard practice is that at the very end, after saying or singing, depending on your minhag, imeshkachech, so you step on the glass and everyone screams mazel tov. But other people found that that's maybe not so appropriate. That after you break the glass, which is supposed to bring down the simcha, that's when everyone jumps up, chuppas over mazel tov, and you know the music starts playing and everything. That it seems to be a little out of whack. So many other people have a practice that they'll break the glass in middle of singing Meshkachech, so that it's done b'kovod rosh, in the proper spirit of the mood that was designated for the breaking of the glass. And then afterwards, after they sing Meshkachech, they could say mazel tov. The thing is, a lot of times people don't know when to say mazel tov. They don't know when to start singing and dancing. The band doesn't know when to start because they're waiting for the cue, and they didn't realize the chassan broke it in the middle of the Meshkachech. So I always tell the chassan, just stamp your foot down again and give everyone the cue so that they'll know to say mazel. The glass should be you shouldn't violate a nisr of geneva or a nisr of nezek when you break the glass. So you should make sure you have rishus to break the glass that you're breaking. Either own the glass, or if it's the catering halls, you know, make sure that you don't just grab it off a table, but they get permission to break this particular glass. Recently, because chassadim apparently are getting weaker in Neskatnu Adoros and having trouble breaking glass, so the photographers have come up with a great etza, or the wedding planners or whoever does it, I don't really know who's responsible for it, that they put a very thin light bulb wrapped in a napkin, and then it's very easy to break. You could very easily break a light bulb. That's really not so much in the spirit of the minhag of breaking the glass. The spirit of the minhag is to break something expensive, you know, something of value, to bring down the simcha. Light bulbs are 29 cents. I don't know. You get it for pretty cheap, a light bulb, so it's probably not 29 cents, a little low, maybe a little more than that. But still, it's not something of any significant value. Probably not the greatest idea. Okay, that was way over time. Okay.